Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And guest list shapes up like this. We will start at the bottom of the hour with Alec Bussey, the latest on Iowa State. He's making his way to Iowa State, a football press conference, as they've had the last couple of Mondays. They'll hold one of those again this morning. So before Alec heads in, we will catch him. Speculate a little bit as to what he's going to hear. Obviously, there was some basketball news, men's basketball news from over the weekend. There's a lot of portaling is taking place. So Alec Bussey coming up here at 11:30. 12:05 every Monday right until football season. Then it gets pushed to Tuesday. We will talk baseball with our friend Matt Snyder from CBSSports.com, our weekly visit inside MLB with one of the best writers, in my opinion, In Major League Baseball, Matt Snyder from CBS Sports. And then the bottom of that hour, Scott Dockerman on the Hawkeyes, previewing, obviously, the Elite Eight tilt tonight, LSU and Iowa, and some other Iowa topics with Scott Dockerman coming up at 12:30 before Trent's plays of the day, which we'll hear about 10 minutes before 1. It's not an April Fool's joke. Apparently, Drake has their coach. We shall see. A lot of buzz out there that Ben McCollum is going to be the guy, and it may get announced here at the top of the hour, but we'll watch that one. Drake may have found their man, so be listening for that throughout the morning. If we do get confirmation, we'll pass that on, but that seems to be the way that the tea leaves are all pointing. How are you, Trent Conn?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm excited about tonight. I'm excited about next weekend. I love the four teams that are still alive. This NC8 story. The men, women, pretty cool in their own right. Just the fact that both of them, men and women, in the Final Four. But this DJ Burns, hard not to like this story, right? And what he's doing and filling it up and hanging around and taking pictures with all this, the stadium or the arena security staff. Hard not to root for a guy like that. He's always got a smile on his face, and don't think they're going to get to the ultimate, which would be Monday night, but just the fact that they made it this far is pretty cool.
And a matchup, you know, Purdue feels like, all right, they finally got it. 44 years later, since Joe Barely Cares was out there for Purdue and beat Iowa in the old third-place game after losing the semifinals, they get back to it, and yet they could lose to a double-digit seed once again.
Can they, though?
Yes, absolutely.
You think that
Yes.
I mean, the Burns-Edey matchup is going to be phenomenal, but Zach Edey plays like he did yesterday.
And if NC State plays the way they did in the second half,
unreal.
They didn't go back-to-back possessions without scoring in the second half of the game.
Isn't that something?
I mean, that's impossible.
Yeah, you'd think.
That's impossible to do.
Very seldom does that happen. That's true.
They didn't turn it over. Mm-hmm. They were shooting an incredibly high clip.
And look, Duke was lucky to get there in the first place. If Shedd doesn't get hurt on what night was it, Friday night?
Yes.
They're probably not in that game yesterday. I mean, Shedd means that much to Houston.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any doubt.
I think that I'm with you. I mean, he's a hell of a player, and I think Duke was probably going to be sent home. But North Carolina State knocked Duke out of the ACC tournament. Was that a semifinal or was that? I don't remember. But just the fact that NC State is still here and the path that they got here, and this Burns cat, just fun to watch him play.
Mm-hmm.
Fun. Middlebrooks, good player. Fun. Great Final Four. We'll get the Final Four tonight. The last two teams will punch their ticket to Cleveland here tonight, including the early tip, which would be Iowa and LSU, and the number's going to be through the roof TV-wise. I think it's cable, but a lot of advance publicity about this game, and I think people will find it.
6, 7, 8 million, probably something in that range that you're going to see.
And then if it's good down the stretch,
yeah, absolutely.
Just before 9 Eastern, right?
Ooh. What that thing's going to peak at, it's going to be a monster number. Love the Final Four. You get kind of a different swath. NC State, a really good program, 83 national championship. But it was crazy, just even leading into the Elite Eight and just how long it's been for them. I mean, they haven't been brutal.
Right.
They've had rough stretches, definitely, and, yeah. and we've seen that. But and they haven't got back to the path that they once were. But Kevin Keats on...
How about his technical yesterday? Come on, please. Right, right refs? I mean, you made a bad call worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was Duke that knocked the ball out of bounds. Everybody in the building knew it, except for the three zebras, or one of them that overruled the other two. You made a bad call worse by teeing them up. I mean, Jesus, you're playing Duke. Of course you're going to get a little hot under the collar. You're an underdog. You're not supposed to be there. And then you're seeing this blue blood get calls go your way. Yeah, you're going to snap. It's not like he snapped. He walked out of the coach's box. You know what? Get back in there next time you do it, we're going to tee you up. Okay, good. Learn my lesson.
Was there multiple times throughout the course of the game that he had been warned?
And as Steratore said, too, he said, like, I wasn't there. I don't know if was there a magic word said.
Absolutely.
But on the surface, I agree with Rafferty, because Rafferty knew right away. And, and Grant Hill said to, well, explain what Rafferty was hot under the collar about. But it was a great week. God, this tournament, Trent. It's spectacular. Mm-hmm. It really and truly is this. We say it every year. It's just such theater. And now the women take center stage tonight. And man, I hope that that this one lives up to the hype, because the hype is certainly off the charts.
And no doubt about it. And you want to break down the game a little, because the Colorado game was just so
they blew them out. I thought this was supposed to be close.
I did too. I anticipated it was going to be close, and Iowa just came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that we talked about a little bit last week, and I think there's some reality to it. Getting away from Iowa City is what this team needed.
Yeah.
The fishbowl environment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the reason that Lute Olson left him.
Mm-hmm.
You can definitely see that, and just the pressure that was on him. Caitlin Clark, she always is high rung. I mean, she's high strung. That's mm-hmm. how she is. That Holy Cross game was an embarrassment. She took it to another level in that game.
No, I agree.
Then the physical play.
And that was the first time she cracked, I thought.
Yeah. And it was just almost too much. The engine's always revving hot.
Yeah.
But it was in the red.
Zach Eady's engine was running hot yesterday.
Yeah. It went to another level. And then you have the West Virginia game, and a game that's physical, is tough, but you find a way to do that. But just getting away, last year, I remember you brought it up because you hadn't seen it until the Final Four, the circle.
Yeah,
where they all sit together. And it's something that they've done for a long time. But that circle is just us. Yeah, mm-hmm. we'll do our media. We'll do all those things. But it's just us mm-hmm. as a team. And you get away from all the craziness. And it has to be crazy just living in that world. And I think it was a good thing for the team, because they played as well as they have against Colorado since, I guess you could say, the Michigan game in the Big Ten tournament. Michigan's not very good. I mean, to play a high-level team, and that's what Colorado is.
Yes.
And completely take them out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the game plan by Colorado, I thought, was brutal. I don't know what they were trying to do. No help on Caitlin Clark, because she's driving the basket time after time after time. Yeah, you're going to run her off the three-point line. Sure, but you got to have help there. If you're going to do that, you better. And they didn't. And then offensively, I could not understand. Volley getting in foul trouble probably was a part of that.
Yeah, in the first half, for sure.
That was just a weird game plan. Mm-hmm. You need to return some of your salary if that's what you came up with. Woof.
Gabby Marshall hitting her threes, and she has to tonight.
And hit an early one, made it 5-1. And it's like... It's another one of those exhales.
Right.
Nope. I've heard Tom Kaker brought this up before. Every time that Gabby hits a shot, and it doesn't matter if it's at home or on the road, the cheers that come out for her first three, if it goes down, are louder than anything
mm-hmm.
that you have early in a basketball game. They're just because I think everybody knows, Gabby's got it tonight.
Yeah. It's like Manchilovic, I'm convinced, Iowa State. It's the same way.
Gabby's got it tonight. Yeah. All right, we're going to be in some good shape here, and it's going to go in this one, and she's going to have an incredibly difficult assignment defensively, because Flajae Johnson is a star.
She really is.
Angel Reese gets all the headlines. Mm-hmm, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
What makes this LSU team go, though, is Flajae. She is incredible.
Morrow, too, to an extent.
Morrow's really good.
Yeah.
And Morrow, you know, she was just a high-volume player at DePaul, and she did whatever she wanted, just shot all the time. She was a chucker because they didn't have a ton else compared to what this LSU team has. She's found that role. She's really talented. And you talk about talent at the next level, Morrow might have the best chance of being a star at the next level. Haley Van Lith, look, she's kind of turned into, she's a shooter and that's about it.
Right.
And she's not an elite level. She's a good shooter, but she's not elite. It is Johnson. It is Angel Reese. Keep her off the boards.
Mm-hmm.
If Iowa, you don't have to out-rebound them, but keep it okay. I don't think you can have what we saw last year in the Final Four where you get doubled up in rebounds. I don't think you can beat this LSU team if that happens here. Knock down some shots, obviously. Play at your pace and rebound at least adequately. Iowa's got a shot here.
Who's the key? I mean, obviously it's Caitlin Clark, but other take her away. Is it Gabby Marshall has to make her threes?
I say Sydney Falter.
Who was terrific the other day. She didn't miss, did she?
She's just a different type of player. Yeah, only a missed free throw.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, perfect. Jeez. From the field, though. And rebounding, physicality, inside, outside, she can handle it. Mm-hmm. Now, without Molly Davis out there, they just don't have a ton of ball handlers. Mm-hmm. That's not a strength of Gabby Marshall. It's not a strength of Kate Martin. They're okay at both those things. I think of Falter the way, and depending on what they do defensively, the assignment, you know, we very well could see Morrow on her. She can take her to the hole every time. Yeah. I mean, she can go by her, and that's something where I think you're going to see, and that's going to be Iowa too, a lot of those throw-aheads. Did you see that graphic that they had up? I think it was during the first half of the Colorado game, talking about the number of assists that Caitlin Clark has from the other side of the floor on those throw-ahead passes. It's something like 60 of her, whatever it was, 180 assists. Oh, it's got to be more than that, whatever the number was. Yeah. It was like 60 from the other side of the floor assists this season. I don't know. I've never seen an equation of other teams.
I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah, I don't remember another player, though, that has that mm-hmm. volume of assists. Mm-hmm. And then they also had it like two steps in front of half court. And that was another huge number. It was another like 40 on that side. And her passing on Saturday, I mean, that was Picasso. That was.
Oh, just like every day.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
But it was another level just because of the sheer volume uh-huh. of the number of great passes that she had.
The bounce
game.
Passes. Just, mm-hmm. oh, she's so fun. My funny story. So my wife's into this.
Yeah.
My wife hates sports. She called me one day to ask me what channel I'm on. She's never listened to me once on the air, 28 years, right? So we're watching the game. She asked me, what's an assist?
Oh, okay.
What's an assist? Which was, I mean, I'm glad. It's just, I just found it funny anyways. And it's a true story. She never listened to it once, ever, a minute. But regardless of that, that's when I go, when she gets, not my wife, Caitlin, gets to the next level, I think it's even going to be, the number's just going to increase because she thinks so far ahead of anybody else on the floor. She's a move ahead. She truly is. And at that next level, she's going to be playing with peers. And this is no offense to anybody that's on the current roster right now. There's going to be better players at the next level, and her assist numbers are just going to go through the roof like they did in this weekend, right? When she had 15 for crying out loud. What an unbelievable performance. I was favored in the game tonight. Opened at 1.5. They're 2 across the board. You can still get. It's still 1.5 at Circa, but they are the lone 1.5. Everybody else is 2. Let's get Jeff in here. Jeff, welcome. Thanks for being patient. Thought we'd hear from you this morning. Fire away.
Let's quickly talk about the Iowa-Colorado game. You guys touched base on the Caitlin passing. I mean, it's you know, I made this comparison when she was in high school. It's Larry Bird-esque. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's things you don't see coming. And the girls on, you know, at Bowling, the girls on Iowa, sometimes they don't even see it. Other girls don't even see it. It's, you know, it's that Gino comment, and I understand what he's doing, saying that he has the best player, and yes. you know, and Paige does it at all levels. I'm sorry, but Caitlin has 15 assists, a steal, a block, had 29. Like, that's laughable. But let's talk about the game tonight. You guys touched, you know, Gabby coming out, hitting shots, Kate doing her thing, rebounding, kind of being that Swiss Army knife. We did all that. I'm just going to throw another thing in there that you guys haven't touched base on. I think it's going to be who gets in foul trouble down low. Can Stokey stay out of foul trouble? Can Stokey rim run and get, you know, the LSU, Angel Reese in foul trouble? I know LSU doesn't really have that big of a bench. I think that could be playing a part. When teams get in foul trouble, you know, who wins from the free throw line, I think it's going to be crucial. Mm-hmm. Can Iowa's guards off the bench, you know, hit a three that's open? We know what they can do with Fearbach and others. Can they step in and hit a wide open three? But it's the same things we've talked about for 2-3 years. Caitlin's going to get hers. We know that. Trent, let me ask you a question. When's the last time Caitlin had a really bad game offensively?
Bad game
offensively. Didn't really score.
Well, there hasn't been any of those. there just hasn't. I mean, not this season.
So you know she's going to bring the scoring. Mm-hmm. And this is a real simple point. It's though, and again, you've touched base on it already. Can Gabby hit her first couple shots? Can Kate get an and one, or maybe hit a three around the, you know, the top of the key? It's those small things. If they do that in, it's a sample size. Just look at the Colorado game. It was an absolute blowout. I don't know if Colorado had the lead at all in that game.
1-0.
And if that 1-0, so if they go into tonight, and boys, oh my God, this rating is going to be absolutely insane. I cannot believe it's an Elite Eight game. And shout out to the women after the USC Connecticut. That's going to be a big number because everybody watching Iowa and LSU is going to carry over. And that game's going to be electric as well. I'm glad it's a standalone game. But again, Iowa fans, Iowa State fans, if you are a basketball savant, I don't care what team you root for. Get your spouse, your kids, your friends, sit down at a bar, at home, have a party. I don't care what you do. Tonight, LSU Iowa is an absolute can't miss. I hope it lives up to the hype.
Yep.
I'll be talking to you guys tomorrow. Have a good day.
Thank you, Jeff. They seldom do. I just got a feeling that this was going to live up to it.
One odd number that jumped out as I was going through and looking at the statistical profile of LSU. They're 11th in the country in offensive rating. They're 3rd in the country in defensive rating. They're 3rd in percentage rate and rebounds. This is an elite team.
Pretty consistent squad. Yep.
The one thing...
One other thing, just to interrupt, and I think Jeff's spot on. They're not very deep.
They're not very deep, absolutely. Man, get them in foul trouble, get Reese.
Yep.
I mean, is this a Hannah Stolke where we're going to be dumping it into her a bunch? Mention a Folter. Mm. I think that could be one, too.
Mm-hmm.
They are 356 in the country and three-point rate, meaning a number of attempts from the three-point line. 4th from the bottom in all the country. They don't shoot a ton of them.
No. They shot 5 the other day.
Now, a year ago, Jasmine Carson.
She
was 55 of 170 going into that game.
That was unbelievable.
They shoot 32%. Yeah. It's 5 in the first half, goes 7 of 8, and there's your difference.
Mm-hmm.
That 21 points.
LSU fans didn't know she was.
No, and to come off and do that, you just throw up your hands.
Yeah.
Game plan-wise, schematically, what they're going to do, because what they did against South Carolina was amazing. That was Jetty Fitzgerald that had that, who's retired, but she's not retired. Basically, Bluter and Jan said, no, you can't retire. You can kind of retire, but you're still working. And she came up with that game plan against South Carolina. I don't know. I didn't hear yesterday who has the scout for this game, but you need to come up with a game plan that's different. One thing that Iowa's done, and during the 20-plus years now of Bluter and Jensen and Fitz and company, is they play a lot of junk defenses, the box and ones, the triangles and two. Is that something that makes sense here, where either make it a box and one with Gabby guarding Laje all over the floor? I think that would make a sense.
I think you have to.
Or even a triangle and two and go that direction. Whatever it is, don't be surprised if you see some kind of junk defense. Mm-hmm. Because this isn't junk for the just sake of junk, because a lot of teams try that and they don't practice it and they come up with one game. They work on these things all throughout the course of the year. That's something that I'd keep my eye on here tonight. Three-point line, run Van Lith off there, run Johnson off there, but overall, not a great three-pointing shooting team, and kind of junk it up and do something that... I'm going to guess LSU's seen it, but they haven't seen it against a team like Iowa, too. And that's, you know, it's crazy. Did you see the point spread today?
Yeah, it's up.
Yeah.
Iowa's favored by 2.
They're taking Iowa money.
Uh-huh. Except for Circa. Circa's the only one that hasn't moved.
Really,
at least they
that's
had
the one?
Yeah. When we went on the air. By the way, speaking of, have you seen, did you read the Washington Post piece on Kim Mulkey?
I did. Not all of it.
Is there a second part?
No.
I mean, talk about an overblown, overhyped. Thank you, I guess, Kim Mulkey, for the writer.
Yeah.
I mean,
Ken Babb was the writer.
Okay, what I learned, and I didn't know, was her upbringing with her father, that they're estranged. But she's not the only one, sadly.
Aaron Rodgers.
I just was expecting so much more.
I did, too.
And I was thinking, you're upset about this?
It's a rehashing of the things that we know.
Now, maybe since we're in the Big 12 footprint and Baylor plays Iowa State and we hear some of these things, maybe that had a part of it. But I just thought, oh, my God, that's it?
It kind of put it all together, all the negative things that we know about her.
Right.
But there was nothing new.
No.
I was waiting for a smoking gun.
Right.
I was waiting for a maybe...
Audio tapes or something.
Right. A gay athlete that had some... Those things are in there.
Right.
But we've known about those for years. Mm-hmm. Decade now.
Mm-hmm.
We've known about these things. She is different. She is wired differently.
Yes.
She does feel like at times a miserable
person. Watch her walking on the floor. You can see from the minute she comes out of the tunnel, she's different.
She's different.
What she's wearing.
And some press conferences, she's different too.
Yes, absolutely.
And a lot of positive things to say about Caitlin yesterday. Uh-huh. And it was a different one. But she is, like many of the great coaches, the way that she is able to manipulate is probably too strong of a word, but to fire up her team.
Precisely.
And this is what great
Hurley
coaches do.
Hurley at UConn.
Yes, he did.
He's a little bit different, just having heard.
Bill Belichick, did these kind of things. The great coaches, this is what they do. We talked about Georgia last week. They win a national championship with maybe the greatest construction of a team. And then some guys said, well, they thought we were going to go 7-5. Right. Nobody thought you're going 7-5.
No.
But the way that these coaches
we had to overcome so much. Yeah. I hear from the Chiefs. You got Patrick Mahomes. Shut up.
Kim Mulkey is able to do that maybe as well as anybody.
Uh-huh.
And she can take the smallest of slights and build it into something
monstrous. So do you think she knew in advance that this was going to be a whole bunch of nothing and use this? I mean, I don't know what she was expecting.
I think she was concerned. Now, the LA Times article, if you saw that over the weekend.
I did not.
It was hideous. It was.
It got killed.
It was as widely panned as it should have been of any article that I've ever seen. You cannot take sports in today, 2024, and try to turn it into the good versus the bad. And that's what the article tried to do. And there was an article of race in there.
Yeah.
It was hideous. It was as poorly run, and there were some edits to it from the original run, I guess, that I initially saw right when it came out. It was as bad as you're going to find. That one, and she panned it, and that was the time where I was applauding Kim Mulkey, which is a rarity for me, because I think she's a despicable human being.
So that one, did that go public before or after the Washington Post? I think it was after.
It was after, yes.
Because I read the Washington Post, and I think one of the reasons I didn't click on the LA Times is because...
Don't read it because it's garbage.
Well,
it's
I didn't read it because I thought there can't be anything to it. I just read what was supposed to be the damning article, and there was nothing there.
And it wasn't Kim Mulkey. It was just LSU against UCLA, the good UCLA girls against the bad LSU girls. It was awful. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely some of the most hacked journalism that I have ever seen. It was as bad of a piece as you're going to find.
Unfortunate.
Yes, absolutely. I'm looking right now, across the board, twos everywhere in Iowa as they are taking money in here, which... Mm. It's a surprise to me. Now, I think I know how I'm going to bet this. It's an emotional hedge, LSU money line.
Are you going to do that?
Yeah, I think so. But it feels like a lot
You don't have to bet, you know.
Well, of course I do. It feels like a lot has to go right for Iowa. Do you see it that way?
I'm with you, Trent. I think LSU on paper is the better team.
Yes.
They've got, Flo'Shea Johnson, Morrow, Angel Reese. They're just better, I think.
I think they're a better team. Mm-hmm. They're not as deep.
No, by a long ways. The Williams kid, she's good.
Yes, absolutely.
She scores a bunch.
They got
here's the thing. The best player on the floor is wearing a Hawkeye uniform.
That's what I continue to come back to. Because going to the Final Four last year, no shot against South Carolina.
None.
I said it right here on these airwaves.
I thought you were going for a long drive. It's going to be a long... Boy, you're wasting your time.
Yep. But went down there for the opportunity to see a Final Four, take my daughter, have that kind of experience. Mm-hmm. Got to see my dad on the way. So it kind of worked out. Everything was really, really well done. But the actual game, those 2 hours, they're going to get drilled.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
Nope.
And they didn't.
Sports, baby.
Every time Caitlin Clark has had the doubt, when the doubt starts to creep in, she comes up with those big moments. She's going to be ready. She is going to be ready to go. And I think, though the point spread doesn't say it, Iowa is, at least in, I think, the thought process, the underdog in this one. Because people remember what happened a year ago. And because of that, I think Iowa likes that role. I think they like the doubters. I think Caitlin Clark likes to prove people wrong. And I have a feeling she's going to be ready to go here tonight and have a really big performance. Will it be enough? We will see. But this one, TV numbers, it is going to be
a monster.
If
it's close and it's just before 8 o'clock, down the stretch, final quarter, wherever you want to put it, it's going to be get to your TV sets. Like for those people who aren't there, we shall see. All right, Alec Bussey coming up. He's making his way to Ames. I heard a crazy one over the weekend.
Uh-oh, what do you got?
This is nothing to do with what today. By the way, this is the worst. I hate April Fool's Day.
Whoever came
up with this April Fool's Day...
It wasn't a recent phenomenon.
No, I know. I know it wasn't. You know who I heard was at practice?
Who is that? Iowa State's practice?
Uh-huh.
Iowa State basketball practice?
Nope.
Iowa State football practice?
Yep.
Bill Belichick?
No, it was a player. Is there a list that comes out as visitors at practice?
At times, it's usually...
Yeah, how does Bussy and Seals and all these recruiting sites know who's... At junior day, they
reach out to most of the kids.
That's how it's done. It's not like, and I find it hard to believe that Iowa State will put on a list. Here's the people that are here.
Now, most of these guys that run recruiting websites, they get to know the recruiting director. They get to know.
Well, I want to ask Bussy
members.
I want to ask Bussy this one. We'll do that next.
Well, who's the name?
Well, who do you think?
I'm confused. Cade McNamara?
No, not Cade McNamara. Who's going to guard his blind side?
Oh, I get where you're going. Caden Proctor.
Right. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Would Campbell go for this? No, this wasn't April. This was March.
Right, yeah. Like, I've told you,
this was March the
30th.
This
is in there in December.
This was as practice was going on.
Mm-hmm. Would you be surprised? He's got a teammate.
Yeah,
on the team?
I kind of would, because I don't think he's a Campbell player, and he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just got to hold your
nose, you
right?
Do.
And hope that he doesn't pull his, you know what, mm-hmm. with us. I don't know. Maybe Bussy will know more. I'm going to ask him when we come back. The basketball stuff as well. Miller and Condon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Coming up in the next hour, Matt Snyder, our Monday guest throughout baseball season. He'll join us for these first of weekly appearances. CBSSports.com for Matt Snyder. Coming up here at 12:05, Scott Dockerman from The Athletic on the Hawkeyes at 12:30. Trent's plays of the day, Circus Sports sponsor those before we get out of here. Just before 1 o'clock, Alec Bussey back from Boston. Did you cover the UConn game? Did you have to stay over? Were you able to get out early, Alec Bussey?
Yeah, I was able to get out early. I had to go home Saturday morning, and I can't tell you how happy I was to land in Des Moines after spending the last 3 weeks on the road.
Yeah, I bet. Good stuff. Well, back up to Ames you go. You got a football presser here coming up. You know, I heard a crazy one. I'll just ask your opinion. I heard Caden Proctor was at practice on Saturday. Have you heard that?
I have not, but admittedly, I haven't spent a ton of time thinking about football in the last couple of weeks just because of everything going on with the basketball side of everything. Mm-hmm. I do know that he obviously intends to enter the transfer portal once that second window opens, and according to all reports from different people, it seems like Alabama is the most likely landing spot for him.
Mm-hmm. Does he seem like a Matt Campbell player to you if indeed, that Proctor did like what he saw? Do you think, fit the Campbell mold necessarily from, just the fact that he's got moving around as much as he has, can't settle in one place. Do you think that's something that that Campbell would overlook if he wanted to be a Cyclone?
Certainly he's highly talented, and he has the potential to be a likely first-round NFL draft pick once he, plays enough years in college after having a pretty successful freshman season at Alabama. Obviously when a player is that talented, if you feel like he can, fit your roster and help improve your roster, I think that's something that you explore if you feel mm-hmm. like he's a fit for your locker room. How he fits Iowa State's locker room is certainly a valuable question, though, considering some of the details that have happened in the last couple of weeks or couple of months, I guess you could say. But again, a former five-star prospect, someone who projects to potentially be a first-round NFL draft pick in the future, those are hard to come by, and if you feel like he's a fit for your locker room, you certainly wouldn't question too much the decision to add a player like that.
Very active in the portal already for the football program. Jalen Travis coming in, Dylan Barrett along the offensive line. Jalen Jackson, who I'm really excited about. Remember watching him in action from Eastern Michigan, and wide receivers as well with Isaiah Alston coming in from Army. With that being said, the new portal will be opening up here pretty soon. What do you anticipate, Proctor aside, Iowa State's going to be looking at in the portal the next time it opens up?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think you're going to continue to see them potentially look for depth at the offensive line, and potentially in the secondary, most likely at corner, just because that corner is a little bit thin after the departure of TJ Tampa. Of course, you return Miles Purchase. But you just got some question marks there. Obviously, I think they feel confident in most of their defensive backs with Darian Porter, Malik Verdon, Bill Frailer, all those guys turning, Jeremiah Cooper as well. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those guys don't have great experience at corner, specifically on the outside. So I think it wouldn't shock me to see them potentially add another transfer at the corner position.
Yeah, I'm with you. Did you hear how the Big 12's, combine is what they called it. They put everybody together, got everybody together, and made it easier for scouts to, have to schlep through the entire Big 12 footprint, if you will. Got everybody in the same place. Have you heard how successful that was, and if that's the path that they'll go, that they'll take every year from here on out?
Yeah, I do think it was something that was received well, especially by NFL franchises, just because it makes it a lot easier for them to not have to travel to so many different schools, and it kind of centralizes everybody into a similar location. So I do think it was received well. And I don't really think it matters too much from a player perspective, just because it doesn't matter where you do your workouts at. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those things where for players, they just want to be able to showcase their talents and showcase some of their athleticism before they decide to continue their draft process.
As we go through, there's a lot of early enrollees also coming in here, 9 guys that are already on campus. I know it's really early in camp and not a ton of information at this point in time, but freshman class, it's so difficult with so many returning guys coming back. Do you have a guy or two, though, that you anticipate, either early enrollees or just freshmen in general, that you think have a chance to be helping out this year?
Yeah, I think I would start at the transfer. You talked about the Eastern Michigan transfer running back. I think that that's one that certainly would be one to circle. Obviously, I think the return and potential excitement of Abusama returning as a sophomore is great, but I think just having improved depth and explosive playmaking at tailback is obviously something that's exciting for Iowa State heading into next year. I really like the addition of Isaiah Alston as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's a third target for Rocco Beck to kind of hit and target in the on the outside, and I think that could be really, really valuable coming out of the portal. And then if you're looking at just incoming freshmen, I think what Iowa State has been really impressed with so far is just the maturity of a lot of those kids as they've come in. Matt Campbell talks all the time about how hard he thinks it can be for incoming freshmen early enrollees to kind of adjust to the lifestyle of everything that exists. So I think Dylan Lee is one at running back. That's another name to potentially watch. I know the staff has kind of compared him to some of the successes character-wise and just first impressions of Abusama a year ago.
Just one more on football. Kid who was at the combine, Ben Nickel. I mean, some of the numbers that he – did you realize – I mean, I'm not sure anybody realized just how athletic he was. Hardly saw the field until his final season. I think he was a walk-on. They finally gave him a scholarship, if memory serves. But I guess I didn't realize just how athletic he was. He lit up the combine.
Yeah, he was really impressive. And obviously, I think, you mentioned him not having the greatest opportunity at various points in his career. I think that him – putting on that kind of display certainly would open up the door for him at the very least to potentially get an undrafted free agent spot and potentially create an opportunity for him on special teams at the next level.
We'll jump over to basketball, and the portal has heated up Omaha Blue, but he is not alone. 4 different players in the transfer portal. Any surprises out of that group to you?
No, not really. It's really hard to keep every player out of the portal. Mm-hmm. So none of these guys that entered the portal, I think, were a huge surprise to me. Of course, obviously, seeing Blue enter the portal isn't something that I think very many Iowa State fans probably wanted to see, mm-hmm. Which makes a lot of sense. Being a former 5-star prospect, being someone who had a lot of success in high school and at a local school, I think Iowa State fans kind of fell in love with the idea of him becoming a key player for Iowa State in the future, and it just never really worked out. I think he's someone who, certainly has a lot of potential, but needs to develop a good bit, especially from a skill perspective. I think that's something that really kind of hampered his opportunity this past season at Iowa State, and just not being able to work his way into the rotation. And then, obviously losing Fish and Jelani Hamilton, neither one of those guys were able to really make a big impact on the court this year for various reasons. Obviously, Fish played 4 games, I think it was, and then had a shoulder injury that sidelined him for the rest of the year, and Iowa State was going to plan to try and get him a medical red shirt. Hamilton never played, and then obviously losing Jackson Pobleski. In terms of players who made an impact for Iowa State on the court this season, he is the biggest one in terms of the portal, but athletically it was always going to be a challenge for him in the Big 12, just given his size and his physical build. But we know he can be really successful at the mid-major level considering the numbers that he posted at Wofford. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him potentially drop down to a mid-major level again after spending one season at Iowa State.
Have you been able to decipher? We saw Nate Heisey's name, mm-hmm. apparently connected to Iowa State, kid from Colorado likewise. Any names that Cyclone fans should keep an eye on that may indeed be in Ames when basketball reconvenes October, November?
Yeah, I think one to certainly continue to track along with Nate Heisey, because you talked about him taking an official visit today. I think Chris Williams was the first to report that. Is Colorado transfer target Javon Hadley. He's someone who can kind of play that 3-4 role, got good size, good role player. I think he's someone who could be a good third or fourth option for a pretty good team. We kind of saw that this year at Colorado. The tournament team made it to the round of 32. I don't think he would transfer to Iowa State and expect to enter with the idea of being a lead option, especially with the likelihood of Taman Lipsey and Keyshawn Gilbert both returning for Iowa State, and those are going to be your top options next year.
So you're looking front court players. Is that the likely scenario? You're probably looking at maybe a couple of big guys coming in?
Yeah, I think that that'll certainly be their primary area of target. Obviously, Heisey is more of a guard. I talked about Hadley. He's someone who I wouldn't necessarily describe as like maybe your traditional four, but they need help in the front court. Obviously, losing their top four front court contributors with Rob Jones, Trey King, and Hassan Ward all leaving, then obviously we talked about Ompon Ballou also entering the portal. Mm-hmm. So they certainly have a lot to replace in the front court, and I think that that's, you know, the one area of concern right now on the roster heading into next season is just where is the front court going to stand, because they have to replace a lot and a lot of experience in the front court as well.
Alec, do you know where we can kind of follow along? I'm kind of curious as to see who jumps in front of trying to, you know, acquire, I guess, Omaha Ballou. That's what you do now, right? You acquire. Who's kicking the tires on Omaha Ballou? What schools? Do you have any idea?
I have not followed it, to be honest. I was with my girlfriend's family yesterday for Valentine's Day, and then just kind of used some much needed time to recharge.
Hang on a second.
I don't know any schools.
For Valentine's Day?
Did I say Valentine's Day? I meant Easter. Sorry.
That was good.
My bad.
I know you've been on the road for a while. I didn't realize you were gone since the middle of February.
My bad. No, yeah, I definitely meant to say Easter. Yeah. No, yeah, I was spending some time with her family, so I didn't get a chance to really follow it too closely. But yeah, that's certainly something that'll be interesting to track, just because obviously he has a lot of talent, but it just didn't work for him on the court this year. So I think there's a lot of natural interest in where he could potentially end up transferring to. Mm-hmm. And we'll just kind of have to track it and see where it goes.
So you're new in this business, so the transfer portal has been a part of it since you started, Alec. However, how difficult is this? I mean, it's one thing, we've been following recruiting for 25 years on the internet, but this recent change going from, all right, high school kid's going to take a visit, you're going to find out from, this is the wild, wild west. How difficult is it for you to kind of get information and find out who they're actually targeting, what's an offer mean in this transfer portal environment? How much more difficult has it become?
Yeah, it's really hard to cover the transfer portal. Unlike high school recruits, transfers don't really talk to the press very often. They're really hard to get a hold of, especially when they're in the portal. So that makes it difficult. On top of that, a lot of times agents are running the recruitment for various portal targets, especially if it's a higher ranking target. So I don't have a lot of connections to agents, so that makes it difficult as well. And then there's just so much that kind of goes on behind the scenes with portal recruitment that makes it difficult.
Alec Bussey, 24/7 Sports, CycloneAlert.com. Alec, what can we look forward to this week at the website?
Yeah, hopefully we are able to get a lot of recruiting coverage up, portal coverage up. I know we kind of haven't done that a ton in the last couple of weeks just with everything going on in the basketball side of things. So we'll kind of see where things kind of go from that perspective with Iowa State.
And who do you have coming up here football-wise? Who does the media get to speak with today from the Cyclones?
Yeah, we get to talk to a couple running backs, Abu Sama, Carson Hanson, a couple of linebackers as well, and then a couple of assistant coaches. So it should be a good day over in Ames.
Good stuff, Alec. We'll look forward to CycloneAlert.com. Appreciate you coming on. Talk with you next Monday. Thank you, Alec.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you. You appreciate it as well. Alec Bussey, Cyclone Alert 24/7 Sports. We're grateful to him for joining us on the road last week, both weeks on Friday, giving us a little double dip as he was on the road with the Clones. So it sounds like most of the Iowa media was able to get home early, at least the ones we follow.
Yes.
I'm guessing most of the fan base as well.
Change flights,
cancel rooms. Mm-hmm. Get the heck out of town, although there's a worse place. Now, if you're in Albany, you want to get the hell out. If you're in Boston, you know,
there's things to do.
Yeah, right.
Though, so my buddy Biz, who I mentioned from time to time, he's out there.
He's in Albany,
with his dad.
Yeah.
And him and his dad went out there. Mr. B, my elementary school principal, one of the nicest guys in the world. So they took today, before the game, They drove to Cooperstown.
Oh,
and they're
awesome.
Doing that together.
Phenomenal. How far is it from there? Is that where you fly in to go to Cooperstown?
I'm not sure, but I think they said it was less than 2 hours, something like that, to get there.
Easy.
Yeah. Take the drive.
Right.
Hang out with Dad for the weekend.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was...
That's a great idea, really. Trent.
So Mr. Bisgard was the one that got me into fantasy sports. Fourth grade, he took a group of...
Now that's an educator.
Oh, absolutely.
That's good work.
So him and Mr. Mayer, our PE teacher, mm-hmm. who was also our high school basketball coach, mm-hmm. they invite... It was 8 to 10 of the kind of hardcore sports fans at the time. So out of my grade, I was the one that was chosen because I was the weirdo. I was the nerd reading box scores all day. And By the way,
don't you miss those in the paper?
Oh, it was so great.
It's so awesome.
And you didn't get your stats until once every 2-3 weeks. Mr. Mayer, Mr. Bisgard would put it together and look at the USA Today and get, what was it? Tuesdays was the American League. Wednesdays was the National League.
Yeah,
put it all together and then in the mail.
Jesus.
Oh, that was a big day.
Oh, I loved box scores in the newspapers. Unbelievable.
Speaking of the agate type, did you see the tweet that I sent out this morning with all the baseball transactions?
Yeah, I did. Where's that from? I mean, obviously.
I saw it years ago, and I just saved it on my phone and put it out there every April 1st. Check it out on X at TrekCon, and it's a lot of fun movie references to baseball players.
And remember the day that it's posted on.
Yes. Yeah. Did the Cy-Nato get you today?
No, come on.
Okay, you were on your toes. You were ready to go.
It's April 1st. I hate today. Now, is it end at noon?
No.
See, I thought April 1st. I think maybe it's a Canadian thing.
Must be.
If you pull an April Fool's prank after noon, I don't know what the punishment is.
Right.
I'm guessing it's none.
But take away your poutine?
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. Or your Labatt's or Molson. But I think it's your...
No maple syrup.
I thought it was done at noon.
That must be a Canadian thing. I've never heard of that.
Never heard of that.
No. Be on your toes all day long.
Yeah, I guess. All right, Omaha Blue Country Roads with Tucker. Maybe so. That does.
There's been a lot of that. A lot of that smoke.
Yep. You were the one because Cyclone Nation was just, and I get it, euphoric. You're getting a 5-star, but you were kind of tapped the brakes the entire time.
This summer.
You weren't Johnny Come Lately, I guess.
No.
What you're
I told everybody that would listen this summer that Manchilovich would have a better season statistically than Omaha Blue. Now, I didn't think Manchilovich would be as good as he was. Mm-hmm. I thought he'd be solid. He was better.
Yeah.
And I thought Omaha would at least have a role. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we had people out there. Was he going to average double-double this year?
Trent, one and done.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're right.
It's true. But 15 and 12. I mean, those were the expectations for certain people.
Enjoy him while you got him.
Yes.
He's off to the league. A different league.
I think in a different way, he could have found a different kind of... He could have had the role of Damarian Watson. He could have had that role.
And seemingly, when Watson was out, he did have that role.
He did, absolutely. Yeah. That kind of role, but the expectations were too high. There's work that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever he lands, you want the kid to find the right spot. I mean, he's been transient. He's been all over the place. Yep. High school career, bouncing back and forth. Going back as a little kid, obviously. There's been a lot there. Find the right people, get the right people to make it happen. And Iowa State did everything right, or just needed to be more on the basketball floor. And he tried and he worked and he did those kind of things, but just didn't click for whatever reason with that team. You know, another guy that I wonder, you know, I was looking at Jelani Hamilton, another one of the transfers. I hadn't looked at his offer list since he 2 summers ago, I guess, committed.
What were they?
He's from the South. He's from Georgia.
Okay.
6'6 guard, top 100 player. Alabama, Auburn, Georgia Tech, Illinois, LSU, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Vatek, Xavier.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
So it's not like this Iowa State took a chance on
this
kid.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, let's roll the dice at a 6'6", 2 guard and see. No. This kid had big-time offers.
By the sounds of things.
I wonder what his... I love that part of it, too. Of seeing who's out there. Was it Tony Perkins took a visit to Missouri this weekend? Indiana has been a lot of talk, obviously, about him going back to the Hoosier State and finishing up his career there. But the guys that leave, too, it is always interesting
End up.
Who's involved? Who's interested in the guys? Even the guys that we didn't get to see a ton, and who else is out there?
I will say this. I'm confident that TJ will do very well in the portal.
Yes.
He seemingly has done that since the portal was even prior to the portal even becoming a thing.
And finding guys that fit.
Yep.
Finding the right fit. Very good at that.
10 before noon, we'll come back, finish up the hour. We're going to talk baseball to start hour number 2. Matt Snyder joins us every Monday. How about your guy, Royce Lewis?
Oh, man. Significant.
Significant. Like maybe Memorial Day.
Yeah, Memorial Day, yeah. Minnesota Twins.
This kid's just made of glass.
Yeah.
And him and Buxton.
Two of them.
Both of them.
Generational
talents.
They
are. They could be. Can't stay on the field.
Can't stay healthy.
Back to wrap up hour number one. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, Millery Condon. Welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Opening day down at the ballpark tomorrow locally. iCubs begin their home portion of the schedule tomorrow. Tommy Birch is going to join us from the Des Moines Register. He covers all the home games, the majority of the home games for the Register. He'll give us a little preview coming up here about 24 hours and 10 minutes from right now. How much baseball did you watch? I mean, I know it was Easter.
It was.
And you have two young kids.
Yes.
You're probably keeping some of your viewing down from a normal weekend. Did you watch your Twins much?
Did not watch yesterday, and thank goodness for that. 11-0 drubbing.
Right, but they were due, right? They weren't going to sweep them.
I wish they would have.
Of course you do.
Well, I mean, you're trying to keep pace with the Red Hot Tigers, right?
Yeah.
3-0.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they played the right team.
Sure they did. Yes, they did.
That White Sox team is
hideous.
Brutal. Yeah, they are going to be bad. Not a ton, though. Yeah, watched a little bit on Saturday, and that was about it. Didn't even flip it on. Had too much basketball going on. And the basketball on Saturday, too, with the men and the women going on.
Yep.
Speaking of that, the story of the three-point line in Portland.
I was just talking about that with Scott Knock.
How can that
happen? Exactly. How?
Nobody saw it right away?
Right.
I mean, it's clear as the day is long, right? You're sitting up there. If you're sitting in midcourt, it's very easy to see.
You would think.
I guess you're just not looking for it. You would anticipate that they would never make a mistake
thing,
like
right?
that.
Yeah, what's the guy's name on Hoosiers that brought the tape? What's the coach's name?
Normandale. Yeah.
Maybe he's on to something.
This is wrong,
right?
Maybe it is a little bit longer when you get to the Sweet 16.
Anyways, well, hopefully we'll be entertained mightily tonight.
I think we will. And not just the first game. What we get in game two?
Mm-hmm.
Paige Beckers. And it really
Juju
against Paige.
Yep. And how about the commercials that the women are getting, right? It's just not Caitlin Clark, although I think she opened the door.
Right.
But it's Juju in commercials, and it's Angel Reese in its commercials. It's the gal from Stanford.
Brink.
Brink, right. 6'4", who's going to be the second overall pick, apparently, in the draft right behind Caitlin this year. She's got a commercial. Long overdue. Mm-hmm. Long overdue. And good to see that it's finally happening now. But that was one of my takeaways from the just, wow, good.
It's all everywhere. Time. It's all over the place. Uh-huh. Do you see commercials with Zach Edey?
No, you don't.
No.
No, you don't. Boy, how do you officiate him?
You can't.
You can't because he's 7'4", he's big and he's strong, and he's kind of coordinated now.
He's nimble enough, right? He's nimble enough that it's not just a big hulking figure.
I watched a video from him from his freshman campaign to where he's at now.
Yeah.
My God.
Different world.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, he was just
couldn't put one foot in front of the other.
A carnival act.
Kind of was.
And now he's a basketball player.
And now he's taking it personal. Did you see his press conference yesterday? No offense to Rick Barnes, who's a great coach, and we just beat him, but he overlooked me.
Uh-huh. Now, if I was putting together an ad campaign, I could pick one player from a Final Four participant on the men's side. It's DJ Burns.
Oh.
I don't care what food company it is. I don't care what it is.
I saw some of his NIL, and there's a lot of people asking themselves, how did this guy get away from the football program?
Well, how did Tennessee let him go? How different could it yesterday been?
That's a great point.
If DJ Burns was still there playing for the Volunteers.
Yeah, that's a great point. Boy, Konechny's something, isn't he?
Yes.
Jesus.
Another story.
Oh, my God.
He was
God.
5'8" going into his senior year.
Is that why he got unsolicited recruited?
He grew to 6'1" his senior campaign, had a good season, had to go to JUCO. Not like Indian Hills JUCO or the Kansas JUCOs. Kind of a bad JUCO.
Uh-huh.
Was okay his freshman year. Then grew another couple inches. Went to Northern Colorado.
Mm.
Here he is.
If that's his one and only campaign, right? He's done now, right? I think he's done.
Well, and he's going to be a first rounder.
I think he is. Played himself to do a first rounder. Oh, that was a
It's
hell
a bad
of a
draft.
Game. Is it?
It's a bad draft.
Hour number two, we'll start talking baseball with Matt Snyder, more Hawks LSU with Scott Dockerman, Trent's plays of the day. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO.